This is Tab Ramos from Inside American Soccer. The Cup has taken over the U.S. and only DraftKings has you fully covered. The DraftKings Sports app is now available in all 50 states and includes all markets. Sweat all the matches you love, all in one place with one app. New DraftKings customers, sign up with code DK1. Spend $5 to get 200 in rewards within 21 days. That's code DK1 in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, that text pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Ontario. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Sportsbook bonus bets expire in 7 days. $50 in predictions dollars issued weekly for 3 weeks expire in 1 year. Redeem one non-withdrawable reward. Availability varies. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends June 28th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Vilnius, Lithuania, the scene of the most recent gathering of eagles, the summit for the NATO leadership, looking to debate whether or not it was time or is there a time for Ukraine to be invited to NATO, Ukraine at the front line of fighting the Russian invader. I welcome Judy Dempsey of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's in Berlin. She most recently was in Vilnius. And I could hear the enthusiasm all around, Judy, but now she's here to debrief us on the meeting itself. And I'm struck in her most recent essay at the Carnegie by this fact. There were runners leaving in July to run from Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, to Vilnius, the capital of Lithuania. You can run it. You can, as a marathoner, it's available. They wore the T-shirt 33. Judy, the mystery of 33, I didn't immediately understand it. What did 33 represent? And what did the NATO summit make of that gesture? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you very much for having me on your show. Well, I thought I'd leave it 33 till the very last sentence of my blog, which may have been a mistake. But 33 was what would happen if Ukraine was admitted to NATO. It would be the 33rd member after, of course, Turkey lifted its veto off Sweden on the day of the NATO summit or the day before. So it would have become the 33. It was a big symbol. It was emotional and stand with Ukraine written on the T-shirts. And they did it in rotation, the marathon, runners at a time. It's about 900 kilometres. Actually, it's not that far from Lithuania, from Kiev to Lithuania. But the 33 was this great symbol. And it was wonderful to see the runners entering a big square in Lithuania, in Vilnius, where I saw them coming through.
The disappointment was that, as you write in your presentation, that the 2008 Bucharest summit, where Ukraine sought membership in NATO or sought some kind of timeline to join NATO, this is many years ago and is now the woulda, coulda, shoulda moment of this European conflict. Did that irony strike members of the gathering in Vilnius that they were being asked and they were returning exactly as if it was 2008 again? Not yet, Ukraine, not yet.
There were some sweeteners at the Bucharest summit. And this is a summit where the French president and the then German Chancellor Angela Merkel really were opposed to offering any kind of date for Ukraine to join NATO. They said, oh, maybe the membership action plan at some stage, but not now. And the membership action plan was always the stepping stone, the procedure to prepare to join NATO. What we saw in the summit of Vilnius, the membership action plan was dropped. Interestingly enough, and I must be fair, Ukraine will join a special new council, Ukraine NATO Council, and they'll be sitting there on deliberations, on information gathering and sharing. And it does upgrade Ukraine. And I think Ukraine, under its president, Volodymyr Zelensky, I think they've sort of bitten the bullet and said, okay, this is as far as we got. We got new promises of armaments from Germany and France. Let's see what happens next year when the big 75th anniversary of NATO takes place in Washington, D.C., just before the presidential election.
You quote the communique that emerged from the Vilnius meeting. We will be in a position to extend an invitation to Ukraine to join the alliance when allies agree and conditions are met. What does that mean, Judy? Because Ukraine is existentially threatened now.
I completely agree with you. But what are these conditions? This is an army which is so professional, which has trained so much, which has been trained also by NATO over the years. But what conditions? And it would have been different had they said the circumstances, meaning the war. But how the Ukrainians are trying to do democracy, they're trying to do civil society, they're trying to do the end of corruption, and all this in the middle of a war, being attacked by Russia. And then NATO blatantly says, when the conditions are met. What are conditions when Poland, as a member of NATO and the EU, is actually undermining the rule of law, as is Hungary, as is Turkey, as are other countries, and then you single out Ukraine, oh, well, when the conditions are met. This is such an elastic word, and it can be used in any way, but I think it's very disingenuous, especially at a time when so many lives are being fought for the security of Europe and Ukraine.
I almost added, as is France, after the recent disturbance and cruelty in the streets. However, we come to what is to be done. NATO is watching Ukraine fight for its life right now. Was there anything that was offered that you heard in Vilnius, anything that was offered in the event of a catastrophe? Will NATO come to the rescue if the Russians act badly? I could go through the horrors that Russia has threatened. Is there a sense that NATO can change its mind?
No, NATO will not change its mind at the moment. As I said, maybe we could look forward to a year from now, but a year is a long time in war. Look what's happening in eastern Ukraine, in Crimea, in Bakhmut, and in Lviv, closer to the west, nearer Poland, and in Kiev. This is the first thing. Secondly, we'll see. I'm not entirely convinced the group of the G7 industrialized countries, Japan, Canada, Britain, France, and the United States and Italy, that they pledged security guarantees. But it hasn't been spelled out. What nature, when, how will they actually go in and defend Ukraine? It's all been quite woolly. And it's that was a bit disappointing. It was it's as if it was an answer to NATO not giving Ukraine a date, so the G7 will give them security guarantees. But I'm a little bit pessimistic about this. My view is that this will continue in a bilateral element, that the countries in Europe and the United States and Canada and Japan maybe will actually step up their armaments. But you know, we have a country where people are being killed and the war is going on and it's on the borders of Europe. It's inside Europe indeed. But there was a lot of fudging.
Is there a sense of these when allies agree? What allies disagree? Is there a sense? Let's start with Berlin. Does Berlin disagree? Does it voice the disagreement that it is not yet time for Ukraine?
Look, the Germany and the United States argued over the communique. The communique was quite okay in the days running up to the summit. They mentioned after the war, perhaps NATO could Ukraine could join. And then during the summit itself, there was 11 hours discussion, and Germany and the United States joined ranks. United States did it because Biden is running for a re-election, and the growing unpopularity of the war among Republicans and how it can be used for Ukraine. And Germany did it because they could hide behind the United States. And they just, I wonder, does Germany really want Ukraine to join NATO? Because this would seriously change the geostrategic setup and location of Germany in this part of Europe. Germany is the middle of Europe at the moment. Ukraine and NATO and eventually the EU would change the whole geographic geographical dynamic. And I just wonder, is Germany being honest? Does it really want Ukraine inside NATO, given its old historical relationship with Russia and Russia's abuse of its nuclear power?
Let me be simplistic just for a moment. Reading the headlines in these last days, Germany's economy is struggling. Olaf Scholz and his coalition have made promises that haven't been lived up to about housing. We also have Germany watching Russia cynically suspend the grain deal to risk starvation for North Africa. And at the same time, we have Mr. Scholz knowing that the recession around him must be solved, and one way to go forward is to stop the war. Does any of that impress the coalition? Stopping the war, entering NATO would stop the war. That would help Germany. Does Scholz listen?
No, it would not help Germany. It depends on how you're going to stop the war. And at the moment, President Putin is not willing to stop the war. And President Zelensky in Ukraine will not stop the war until the negotiations the ground for the negotiations are ready. This is the first thing. Germany has been really impressive in dealing with deliveries of arms supplies to Ukraine. There's no doubt about this. But and the coalition, there's ups and downs with the coalition. They're more or less held together over Ukraine, actually more so than we expected. But there's always a lingering thing that maybe it's time to talk to Russia. I mean, everybody wants this war to end, but it depends on the terms and it depends on when Ukraine is ready. And actually, inside NATO, there is a growing consensus that this war will only end once actually Ukraine is militarily more supplied to push Russia to the negotiation table, and this hasn't come to this stage yet. But at the moment, Scholz is—he's not the greatest chancellor of all times by no stretch of the imagination, despite this huge war. In some ways, I think he's hiding behind the United States and other countries. In the EU are hiding behind Germany as well in the reluctance to offer Ukraine a membership date because they are afraid of Russia.
I want to make note of how you referred to the Arctic Sea and the Arctic area as something now responsibility for NATO because of the addition of Finland and Sweden. Is that a positive, Judy? Because that's the way I read it from far away on the other side of the Atlantic. The Arctic has been a backyard for Russia until now, and if those two countries get involved, at least there's a presence there for NATO.
Well, actually, the Arctic Circle has a special Arctic group, which does include Russia and European countries in Canada and the United States. And for years, it's been quite an unacrimonious organization, actually, because it's been out of the headlines. But now that Finland and Sweden, long-term neutral countries, but now NATO are taking the Arctic seriously. And this is very, very important for the security of the region, for the role of China, for the role of Russia, and how they're actually going to protect this whole arc up in the north. This is very, very important that Finland, who has huge experience up there, and Sweden as well, this changes the dynamics and the geographical emphasis of NATO, certainly.
Judy Dempsey is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. It's a easy-to-sign-up place to learn a great deal about the vast canvas of our European allies. At the same time, she's in Berlin, and we're going to turn to summertime in Berlin because one of the questions Judy asks her colleagues is, what are you reading? And what are you listening to? And what are your guilty pleasures when we come back? This is CBS Eye on the World. It's summertime in New England and it's summertime in Berlin. And how do you spend your days? I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.